Greetings, and it's great to be with you again, sharing God's word and also sharing stories of your congregation. It's always uplifting to hear how things are going down here in Living Water. It's great. As we know, Christmas is fast approaching. I see that Santa arrived at Casuarina in a helicopter. I know you've got your celebrations down here. I see there's carols next weekend. So yeah, last evening, a few of us from Darwin Memorial were in the Christmas pageant, marching through the city, which was a great time and a witness to those. You get a lot of floats about all the things you can buy and all sorts of other stories about Christmas. So we like to be in the midst of it all, telling the real story, the story of Jesus. It was great. As we went along, you could hear parents saying, "Oh, look," because we had a little manger with a baby Jesus. They'd say to their kids, "Oh, look, there's the baby Jesus." So hopefully something of the real message of Christmas was getting through in the midst of all the, it's great for the community to be together and celebrating in that way. But we enjoyed being witnesses to it, the true meaning of Christmas. And of course, soon after Christmas comes the end of the calendar year. It's holiday time, all those things are coming to an end. And even sooner comes the end of the Christian year as we follow the cycle of the message from Jesus' beginning to the end. Next Sunday is often celebrated in churches as the festival of Christ the King, when we remember that all things find their fulfillment in Christ. And we've been singing about that in the songs, that everything comes to its fulfillment, to its end in Christ. Then after that, of course, we turn our attention to the first coming as we prepare for Christmas in the season of Advent, as we call it. The coming, the preparation. So today we're thinking about being ready to meet Jesus. If Jesus is the fulfillment of all things, to whom all of history is moving, are we ready to meet him? Whether it be going to him or him coming to us. Now, some people like to spend a lot of time focusing on when Jesus will come again. Among the early Christians, there was a strong expectation that Jesus would return in their own lifetime and bring all of history to its fulfillment. Part of that expectation was probably enhanced by their feelings of difficulties and persecutions that were happening to the early church. And I know a lot of people today, when they look around the world, think, "Come again, come now, Jesus. Bring an end to this history that seems to be so confusing, where so many people we hear are suffering. There's so much going on that seems to be wrong and evil in the world. Jesus, come again." And so there is a hope that Jesus will come soon. But whether he comes in our lifetime or we go to him, it's the same. So Paul's message to the Thessalonians and his message to us is not, when will Jesus come, but be ready at any time for his coming. His coming, says Paul to the Thessalonians, will be unexpected, like a thief in the night. So be awake, be ready for work. Since retiring, I must confess, I'm not one to get up early and to be dressed, and I don't have to be dressed to go off ready to work, except sometimes I have to get up usually the same time to come down here. But many days, I tend to have a slow start to the day and take time before dressing. But I do fear that one day I'm going to be caught out in my pyjamas when someone comes calling, or when I'm called out to do something. So although Paul is talking figuratively about being dressed and ready for work, I get the message because of my practical situation. Be ready to go whenever the call comes. Don't be caught out if Jesus calls. Being awake is living with the awareness that we live daily in the presence of God. The Spirit is with us. Jesus will come, But the Spirit is with us now. God is always with us. It's not as if we're on our own. God doesn't know what's going on. We're in the presence of God. We live continually in the presence of God. God is with us. That's what Jesus promised before he ascended. So we are called to live a life pleasing to God, not indulging, as Paul says, in our own passions and our selfish ambitions. We are called to be dressed, ready for work, ready to do God's work in this world. How are we to be dressed? Paul says, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. What should we wear close to our hearts, which is really the center of our lives? Faith in God. Have faith in God. And love for God and our neighbor, as Jesus commanded. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, what should we protect our minds? There's so much that sort of crashes in on our minds. So much input. We live in a time of media. So much media just keeps filling our minds. What is it that protects our minds? What's the helmet? The hope of salvation, says Paul. We see and hear so much in the world today that can depress us and make things seem hopeless. We experience in our personal lives things, situations that can really get us down and make things seem hopeless. But the truth is that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the promise that through faith in him we will share in his glory is the basis of our hope. Whatever is happening in the world, whatever is happening to us, put on the helmet of hope of salvation, that we will share with Jesus in the end all the glory that is his. This hope protects us like a helmet from all the woes of this life, for all the input that could lead us astray or depress us. So dressed in this way, we step out to work. What do we do? Jesus told the parable of the talents to encourage us to use God's services, in God's service, the gifts that we've been given by God. We do each receive gifts, but never the same gifts. To each is given a specific gift, a special gift. And we look around, we think, gee, some people are very gifted. How could they do that? Others not so much so. But the parable teaches us that it's not a matter of what gifts we have, but how we use what we have been given. We can look at the gifted person and say, I could never do that. I can never be like him or like her. God does not expect us to be. The parable commends those who use their gifts, whether they are many or few. It condemns those who do not use their gifts, even if they have few gifts. Never be afraid to use the gift that you are given. Don't think that the church couldn't use that, the community couldn't use that. The parable teaches us clearly we use the gifts that we have been given for God's purposes, for God's glory. Because we cannot do what others do is no excuse for not doing what we can do. Each of us is equipped by God to work for God in some way, and our task is to discern our gifting and use it in the service of God. Don't worry about other people's gifting, or you can encourage them in that, but discern your gift and use it in the service of God. Just need a drink. Oh, I'll grab. Getting a bit dry. Thanks. Oh, that's easier. Now, we may be given gifts from God, but not always been given the opportunity by our communities to use them. It's another aspect. This has been the case for women with gifts for leadership and ministry. I'm thankful that in the Uniting Church, women can use their gifts, their God-given gifts, in the service of Christ and in the service of the community. And in this context, I find the story of Deborah in the book of Judges interesting. See, after escaping from slavery in Egypt and settling in the land of Canaan, there was a period in the history of the Israelites during which they were ruled by judges. These judges were recognized by the community as having the wisdom and the leadership qualities to be leaders of the people. They usually came to prominence when the community was weak and threatened by their enemies. And one such judge was the woman Deborah. Deborah led the Israelites against King Jabin and the Canaanites, conveying to the people of God the word, to the people, the word of the Lord. That's what the scripture tells us. The word of the Lord came to Deborah, and she spoke to the people. She organized the people to go out against the Canaanites and free themselves from it. Her gifting was God, from God, was recognized by the people. Now, the last of the judges was Samuel. The first book of Samuel records that the people came to him and asked for a king like the nations around them. After the time of the judges, they could see, and they had been battling other nations with kings, the people said, "We want a king. We want to be like all those other nations." Now, it's always been interesting to me to see that in the conversation as recorded in 1 Samuel, both Samuel and God didn't think this was a good idea. They weren't keen on it. However, the people persisted, and the scripture tells us that God granted them a king. That was Saul, and then all the story of Saul, and then David took over, and then there was kings after that. What happened in reality is the men took over the leadership, and as God warned, and God had warned them, as we read in the books of Samuel and Kings, this was a mixed blessing for the people. The scripture tells us that back in the time of the judges, when people were chosen and recognized for the gifts that they had given, not because of their succession line, God chose women as well as men. Our communities are poorer when we exclude from using their gifts those whom God has gifted. It's up to each of us to discern what gifts we have been given by God. It's up to each of us as a community to recognize the gifts that people, other people, those around us have been given. They may be many, they may be few. Whatever. We need as a community to give opportunity for those gifts to be used in the service of Christ. That's why God gives each of us gifts in different ways, different strengths, you might say. May God give us the discernment and the wisdom so that God's gifts are used by all for the good of all and for the building up of the kingdom, of the people of God, building up of the community. We each have a gift. Let us discern what it is and use it. And let us encourage others when we see the gifts that they have in them. Often people are reticent to use their gifts. Encourage others to use the gifts, to build up the whole community, because that is Christ's wish for us as God's people, that using the gifts the Spirit gives, we will build each other up, build up the community, and be a witness to Christ in the world. Amen.